Thank you, Brother Phil, Pastor Phil. So happy that you're back with us today. And we're glad to be here. And I didn't realize it, but there are times that we have to be what is called gap stoppers. In other words, kind of step in and bridge the gap and be helpful and be a gap stopper. Brother Jacob does that. We have opportunity to do it. And we have to be what we can be in every way, what God wants us to be. But I'm just amazed this morning, and I have to say this to you. And I want to, first of all, before I say it, I want to say, welcome Facebook Live. And you're joining us today from your home or wherever you are. You've tuned in to Liberty Baptist Church. And I want you to know we're glad to be here. We may not be great in number, we may not be many in number, but we're glad to be in the house of God where the redeemed of the Lord can say so. Amen. 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 And it is here that the redeemed of the Lord will let it be known and say so. The redeemed of who? The redeemed who he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And we have something to shout about. But what I want you to know is how that God works, and the songs and the words that are spoken, the prayers, the scriptures that are used this morning, so were so interwoven together, because the title of this message is Our Faithful God, Our Faithful God. And then the thoughts that Brother Danny had, and Brother Danny read the scripture really that was my text for the most part. And I thought if he goes on and gets into Psalms 107, he really would, I might just step aside and let him preach. And he got close. He got close. He got into Psalms 100. And Brother Danny, you're probably hearing this, but you got very close, because if you'd hit 107, I'd have said, all right, I believe you're probably the one to preach today. But no, I do appreciate how the Holy Spirit brings our thoughts together and enables us to kind of move along the same line, and our thoughts are along the same line. But I want you to know this morning that we have a faithful God who is all in all to us, and he will be to you what you'll let him be. Lacey, thank you so much for that song that you shared from your heart, and it blessed me and so reminded me of my faithful God that I love and serve daily, and he will be faithful to you if you'll just let him be what he needs to be in your life. I want to look in the book of Lamentations, and there I'm going to be reading Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. Now, Brother Daniel read 22 and 23, and I'm going to cover that one as well. But anyhow, we're glad to talk about what was going on here with the people of Judah, Jerusalem. What was going on is a tragic story, but I want to share that with you and get into that and begin with verse 21 of chapter 3. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The prophet Jeremiah, the mouthpiece of God, is speaking these words. He said in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the fact that your word is everything to us. It is life, it gives us health, it gives us sunshine, it gives us hope, it gives us answers. But Father, all of that being said, you are our mighty God and our faithful God. And Lord, I thank you for Brother Phil's return and the healing power of your Spirit that ministered to him and blessed him and brought him through, as well as Jacob, through a difficult time. And we are thankful, Lord, to have our pastor back today. And so, Lord, I ask you to just bless your word, use your word to touch those that are listening on Facebook Live, those that are here in the sanctuary, those that have gathered today that come in here in expectancy. Father, we expect you to touch us right where we live and breathe life into us in greater measure, that we end up being every bit of what you want us to be and clinging unto you, our faithful God. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And lest I go any further, I want to mention one thing I failed to mention, and that is that I appreciate Brother Ron Tripp up here. And let's give him a hand. And he has been on the side of seeing to it that Facebook is able to see us here in the podium and hear and all of the scriptures and the things that we're putting together to be a blessing to you that are at home or wherever you are. And Brother Ron Tripp is doing a great job. We thank Sheila for her help in the scriptures that are on the screen. Brother Gary, you as you help in the sound system and all that others are doing to make what we're doing here at Liberty Baptist Church successful, because we're trying to please our God. And that's what we want to do, and that's what we want to be. Now, I want to draw your attention this morning in the time that I have to the fact of the prophet Jeremiah and what he had become in his life, how God was using him as a mouthpiece to talk to Jerusalem, to Judah, about where they were living and what they needed to do, what changes they need to make. And so we see that Jeremiah was called of God to be a prophet to Judah. And I would tell you that Jeremiah, actually the book of Jeremiah is the second longest book in the Bible. You probably know what the first longest book is, don't you? Book of Psalms. How many are there? 150? Yeah. There are. And so Jeremiah is the second longest book in the Bible, and I cannot help, when you read through Jeremiah and read what he says and how he continues to call the people of Judah and Jerusalem to repentance and turn to God, I tell you, he spent a lot of time doing that. And you can't help but understand how urgent, how important that was. And so the ministry of Jeremiah lasted to the last 40 years of Judah, including the days immediately following before the destruction of Jerusalem and the carrying away of God's people. And I say God's people, you wouldn't think it would come to this, but the carrying away of God's people to Babylon to remain in captivity for 70 years. What a tragic thing that's the way things had to end up. But Jeremiah ministered during the reigns of Josiah, of Jehoahaz, of Jehoiakim, Jehoashin, and Zedekiah. He ministered during the time of all of these prophets with a message that was sound, with a message that was strong, and yet a message that people were turning a deaf ear to. Now, I wonder if people today are turning a deaf ear to God's word. I wonder if they're turning a deaf ear to God's word. But when you look at how it impacted Jeremiah personally, oh, I want to tell you, he was in it. He was wrapped up in it. It was from his heart. He was pleading. He was seeking God. And just to tell you how it was, look at Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 23. This tells you something. It said, but this people, he's talking about Israel, Judah. He's talking about the people of God. He said, but this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. What a tragedy. Revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. And then in verse 25, he goes on to say, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Now, you can be so distant from God, and you can be so rebellious of the things God has for you, that good things will be withholded from you, or withholding from you. You need to understand good things come to those that are obedient, to those that listen, to those that are receptive, to those that do God's will and purpose. And we need to always be a people that are involved in this way. So Jeremiah warned Judah that they would suffer punishment for rejecting God and his law. He clearly pointed that out to them. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, we notice here that Jeremiah continues to express his anguish over God's rebellious people and their refusal to repent and escape the coming the coming destruction. Destruction was on its way. You see, God will only so long tolerate sin. God will only put up with it so long, and I wonder in America how long he's going to put up with so many things. Wow. Well, I'm not just trying to take you down the pathway of gloom and doom, but I want you to know that God, and you can look at it. Go back and look at Israel. Go back and look as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and look at what happened. There was a generation that did not cross over into Canaan land. You want to know why? They would not be obedient and listen to God. And so the judgment of that, they were not people of faith and did not believe God would do what he said he would do. The judgment of that was that they did not. That whole generation was not able to cross over into Canaan land. But talking about Jeremiah and preaching repentance and escape the destruction, he said in verse 1 of chapter 9, he said, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep, day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." I mean, he was a man of deep emotion and deep feeling about the people of God and what he wanted them to do and how that he wanted them to turn from the sin that they were involved with. And so Jeremiah, that is the reason really that Jeremiah is often referred to as the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet, and weeping night and day for a people that were too hard-hearted to realize that judgment was on its way. Weeping for them, praying, God, change their heart. Cause them to take notice of where they are and what's going on. And so Jeremiah took it very, very seriously. So Jeremiah, in his weeping and sorrow for Judah, wrote a series of five lamentations, or five chapters, but five lamentings, in which he was pouring out and weeping about the things that they were doing and weeping to express sorrow and pain for how that the people continued just to refuse in rebellion. And so then over this period of time, Israel, or Jerusalem, I should say, was headed in the wrong direction. And here is what was unfolding right in their midst. Number one, it was the downfall of the kingdom of David, right there in Judah. The downfall, the monarchy of the kingdom of David, right there because of sin and refusal to repent. Also, the destruction of the city walls in Jerusalem. The temple destroyed, the kingdom, the king's palace even, and the entire city was under devastation and destruction. You can read Lamentations chapter 1 and read details about it. And then finally, the other thing that really got a hold of Jeremiah was the idea that many died in the enemy coming in and doing this devastation. Many died, but what really, really hit Jeremiah hard was that the survivors that were left in the city of Judah, Jerusalem, the survivors were then carried away into captivity into Babylon, some great distance from there. But the survivors that made it through and didn't die and give their life in the battle or in what was going on with Babylon, they were deported and carried away to Babylon. And here's what's interesting about that, that Judah's enemy, Babylon, was God's instrument in judgment.
Yes,
Judah's enemy, Jerusalem's enemy, was instrumental in the judgment that was carried out. Why? Because God just at one point stepped aside and said, here it is, go at it. Because God will not continually turn his back on sin. God will not tolerate our refusal and our rebellion. And I'll tell you what, people aren't very serious about some of the things of God. It's time that we get serious about what's going on. It's time that we get serious about how that we're to serve God with a pure heart, with all our heart, and love him with every bit of what we have. He is a God, a jealous God, that desires your love and your attention, and you're serving him. And if you continue to turn your back on him, I'll tell you, there's a destruction that's awaiting you, and you do not want to go that direction. And so get this now. This is what I want you to see right here. As I've laid out to you what Jeremiah was going through, I want you to see this. Get this. Right in the middle of Judah's destruction and Jeremiah's sorrow, Jeremiah makes a very, very powerful statement. Now we read these verses earlier. We read these verses in this text, but when you really begin to put this verse right where it is and understand what had been going on, it begins to have power behind it. It begins to have emphasis behind it. So right in the middle of all of these things, Jeremiah makes this very, very powerful statement, and this is what he says. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And I could not help but maybe think that Jeremiah, seeing the many people that in battle and in destruction in Judah because Babylon came in and what they did and destroyed, I cannot help but Jeremiah observing that, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I think he probably was looking at the overall picture. It's the Lord's mercies that all of the people were not consumed. Yes, many were, but many were also carried off into a captivity for 70 years. And so it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because why? Because his compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. I tell you, in the middle of all of that, look at the prophet of God is speaking hope and help in our Lord, right in the middle of everything going on. He could get a glimpse of what was really in the heart of God about all of this that was going on, and God's mercy was still in action right there and reaching out to people. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. His compassions still reach us right where we are. Now, I wanted to mention a couple of words here because I looked them up and looked at them in light of the Hebrew, because the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. And the word mercies, the Lord's mercies in Hebrew, is the word pronounced hesed. Hesed. That's the way that word mercies is pronounced, hesed. And it's spelled C-H-E-C-E-D. Now, I don't think you'll get that pronunciation out of it when you look at it. But what it means in the Hebrew, his mercies, or it means his kindness or goodness. Yes. And you say, I see the picture you're laying out here, Brother Tom. It is a picture of destruction and lives being lost and palaces being torn down and the temple being destroyed. And that doesn't look like it's kind and it doesn't look like it's good. But where the kindness and the goodness comes in is God still loved his people even though they were right there. And I'll tell you right now, in America, God loves us.
Thank you, God.
He still loves us in spite of waywardness. He still loves us in spite of looking the other direction and not following Him with a full heart. He's still trying to reach us. His Spirit is still drawing and wooing and trying to get God's people to pay attention and come to Him wholeheartedly, because God loves us and His kindness and His goodness is still there. And then he goes on to say, because His compassions, and that word compassions is an easier pronunciation. It's pronounced Rahan, and it's spelled R-A-C-H-A-M, but it's pronounced Rahan. And what it means, His compassions mean His tender love. God's tender love is still reaching out for us. Oh, aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for that? So here we are, Judah taken into captivity, Jerusalem laying in ruins, people broken and troubled. Their suffering, what they were going through, was beyond belief. Beyond belief. And right then and there, can you say, God, do you really care? Do you really care? And a lot of tears are being shed. Here's Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, crying tears of sorrow because of people rejecting God, and tears were being shed. Well, I want you to know, a mother was told her son had been killed in an accident on the job, and her life suddenly was flooded with tears. And then another family, a sudden heart attack snatched away a husband, leaving a wife to face that tragedy alone. And again, it was more tears. And then when we look at what's going on right now today in America because of COVID-19, loved ones are dying in families, and families are torn apart and broken. I heard where there was a family of 18 family members that had gathered together on Father's Day for a family gathering, 18 members in a family. And would you believe, not long after Father's Day, the father they had gathered to honor died of COVID-19. And then in that family, there were numerous other members that got the virus and became very sick and very ill. And that's the way it is. There are a lot of things going on that cause tears today. And so in all of the painful times, Jeremiah was able to say, in all the tears and the sorrows that are going on and what was going on in Judah at that time, Jeremiah was able to say, it is of the Lord's, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Oh, I'll tell you, if it weren't for the mercies of God, oh, where would we be? If it weren't for His mercies, we would all be consumed. But it's consumed. But it's because His compassions fail not. They fail not. And so we have to understand. We look at verse 23 here in Lamentations, verse 23, and then he says about His compassions. He said, they are new every morning. Now notice he didn't say they're new every evening. In other words, he laid out compassions that are new, expressions of love and tender care of our God every morning. To start your day, get a hold of one of them. Get a hold of God's care for you. Get a hold of, He wants to get you through that day and show His love and His compassion towards you. And so His tender love, His arms around you, saying to you, you can make this day. You can press through and you can make it. There are people today saying, I don't know how I can make another day. There's too much going on. There's too many tears being shed. There's too many people dying. There's too many answers we don't have. And they're saying, I don't know how we can make another day. But I'll tell you, with the arms of our God who is faithful in all of that, He will help you and you can make another day. I want to share this with you. I came across this that says, trust Him. Trust Him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust Him when trust Him when thy strength is small. Trust Him when to trust Him simply seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him. He is ever faithful. Trust him, for his will is best. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place to rest. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place to rest. Trust him, then, through cloud and sunshine. All thy cares upon him cast, till the storms of life are over and the trusting days are past. So we need to trust him and know that his goodness is real, his mercy. Now, I appreciate Psalms 23. Oh, I love that psalm. I probably, and I'm going to say in regular, day by day, I probably quote it at least once and several other times. It's such an important psalm, and I get a great deal of comfort. But when you know that the Lord is your shepherd and he's leading and he is looking out for you. Why? Because he cares about you. In his compassions, he sees the direction you're going and he cares about where you are. So he's leading out and protecting and watchful because you are the sheep of his flock. You are in the flock of God. But then when I looked and saw in Psalms 23, verse 6, where it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I read what one commentator said about goodness and mercy. He said that goodness and mercy were guardian angels, and they were following behind. Jesus was leading ahead, and goodness and mercy are following behind to protect you. Goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. That's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of God that loves us and in his tender mercies cares for us. That's our faithful God. He looks out for us for what is ahead, and he looks out for us for what is behind. I want to go to Psalms 107 quickly. I want to cover a few verses here in passing. Psalms 107, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, there's mercy again, endureth forever. His mercy endures forever. Then verse 2, he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And I believe every day God needs to hear for us. We need to dial a prayer every day and dial in and touch heaven every day and say, thank you, Lord, for redeeming us from the hand of the enemy. That's where we were. We were lost and undone. And when we finally found salvation and Jesus came in and changed our lives to the degree that he has, we can clearly say, I'm glad. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and I have a praise that I can utter from the depths of my heart, because I know I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He snatched me right out of the enemy's hand. The old devil thought he had me wrapped up and had me on my way to hell, and lost and undone without God. And right when I needed him so much, I saw the light of heaven. I saw the light of his mercy and forgiveness, and I was able to be in the number of redeemed and called in to redemption and salvation. And I want you to know, wherever you are this morning, he wants you to come on in. He wants you to be a part of the flock of God. He wants you to follow in behind your good shepherd who will lead you and watch out for you. He wants you to know that goodness and mercy are following behind and looking after you from behind, that you are looked at and you are observed, and God cares every bit about where you are today. But you need to give him his opportunity to change your life. And so now look at verse 21, Psalms 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, the children of men. It is for the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because why? Because his compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. Hudson Taylor, the humble servant of God to China, demonstrated trust in God's faithfulness. I like this. He demonstrated trust in God's faithfulness. Also, Jeremiah, here in Lamentations in 3:22, he wrote about the compassions of the Lord and said, he said that they fail not. But then in verse 23, notice what he said. They are new, they're new every morning. But then he went on to say in verse 23, the last part of that, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And that's what Hudson Taylor was alluding to here when he was talking about China. And he said that God had demonstrated his faithfulness in the work of China. And so Hudson Taylor had every bit of confidence in God's faithfulness. Now, he was so confident that he went on to say, our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained millions of Israelites in their wilderness journey for over 40 years. We do not expect he will send millions of missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them, to feed them, and to take care of them. And he said this in that last part of his statement. He said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. I want to share a story with you in closing. And this happened in the early 1970s. And I was involved in work for the state of Kansas in the Department of Social Rehabilitation. And I had a vocational training program, and I was there and worked with other rehab trainers, and we got to be pretty close. And there was a lady that I worked with. Her name was Georgiana, a sweet-spirited lady. She had a son that was 4 years old. She had a daughter that was in her early 20s, had just turned 20. And so one weekend, Georgiana and her husband, a sweet, lovely couple, love the Lord. And at one weekend, they had gathered at a swimming pool in the park in Larned, Kansas, central Kansas. And in that gathering, there are a lot of people there, a lot of friends through the church, a lot of families that had gathered and having a great time of picnic and swimming. And the little 8-year-old boy, because he got into water over his head and was not watching, and everybody was busy, everybody was occupied, and the little lad, the little young man, 8 years of age, drowned right underneath someone and right where people were around him, and he slipped. He simply got into water over his head and he drowned. And oh, what pain and what heartache and what difficult time came on Georgiana and her husband. And they only had to have that boy 8 years old late in life, but he was the only boy they had. And there he was, he drowned in that pool, and how their hearts were broken, how that they were just so overwhelmed with grief. And when I went to work and was around her not long after that, I could not help but still notice she had a smile on her face. She was treading along and going right along, and I could not help but observe that and say, how can she be so pleasant and upbeat after something like this happening? And so, lo and behold, 2 months after that, her daughter, Georgiana's daughter, was driving back and forth to college, and she was coming home for a weekend visit. And on her way home, late one evening, not too far from where they lived, she never showed up. And they got to worrying about it and thinking, well, what's going on? They couldn't reach her. And so they jumped in their car and went up and down the farm roads. And lo and behold, when they got about a couple of miles from the house on a farm road not far away, there was the car turned upside down along the side of the road. And there was Georgiana, her husband. There was the daughter in the car, and she was deceased. She had died during the night. And so here you have it. You have a son that has passed. in a swimming accident. You have a daughter that is passed in a car accident. And so at the funeral, when I was around George Anna, I could not help but go up to her and say, George Anna, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she looked at me with a grin on her face, and she said, you know what? We cannot ask why. We cannot ask why, but she said, I want you to know that God is faithful. And I couldn't help but know when she said that, George Anna, I see something in you and your faith to know that God is faithful in all that happens. You don't have an answer why. You don't know why. We don't know why things happen like they do. I don't know why my wife has lost her eyesight. I'm believing it's going to come back. I don't know why, but I know one thing. And I know that God is faithful in everything that we go through, everything that happens, everything you face, every sickness you go through, every difficulty you face. Understand that God is a faithful God, and He is with you, and He will see you through whatever the trial is in your life. Brother Jacob, I'm going to have prayer for our Facebook friends. Brother Jacob's coming. But I want you to join me in prayer on Facebook at this moment. And I just ask God to bless you and meet you right where you are. Father, I thank you for our Facebook family that is here and tuned in today. Father, may each realize that God is faithful. Whatever you're called to go through, you don't have an answer as to why. Don't ever think that God doesn't know. He cares and He knows. And through that all, you will learn to trust Him. You must learn to trust Him. If I never had trials and tests, I'd never know how good God is on the scene. And so I challenge you where you are today, listening to Facebook Live, that you turn your life over to Jesus and trust Him. Let Him come into your heart and life. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, but know this, God is faithful and He will be good to you. God bless you, Brother Jacob.